When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sorry about the noise. My neighbour's sanding his deck. My motto? Don't work on your deck. Play on it. Life's good with a Trex deck. Low maintenance with a 25-year residential warranty. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
We are the storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the storm and we're number one.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
But we kickstart it with the Melbourne Storm Hour. And of course, this team just continues to play as well as they do. They're 5-0. Tough road trip last week. Always hard to go up. Always tough one to go up to Townsville. We'll get the job done. Our man, Sandor Earl, who is a huge part of the Storm Hours. I think he knew this time last week when he rolled in with a big smile on his face. He didn't drop the knowledge, but he played his first grade game for, I think, 5 years on the weekend in the win. Cam Smith broke another record. Plenty to get into it. I'm joined in the studio by two legends, not only of Melbourne Storm, but of rugby league. I talk of Ryan Hoffman and Robbie Kearns. Boys, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Cam. How are we?
I'm doing well, Kearnsy. What's news with you?
Oh, mate, I'm doing lots of things these days. I've moved on from the Storm in a full-time capacity,
yes.
But still involved, obviously, on match days and bits and pieces, mm-hmm. doing a bit of corporate stuff with them. But, still heavily involved with the boys, watching them go around again. And I think it's the fifth time. I heard this the other day. The fifth time in their 22 years that they've gone 5-0. So, starting another season off magnificently.
So you two boys have been a part of some great starts over the course of the years. As you look at it and you see them 5-0, does it feel like a dominant 5-0, Hoffy? Is it one that, you know, there's been inconsistencies but get the results? Is it a great 5-0 is probably what I'm asking, because any time in sport you do it in a pro level, it's traditionally a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I think any 5-0 is pretty good.
Mm-hmm, true.
Look, the last 2 weeks we probably haven't hit our straps as well as what we did our first 3 weeks, but in the end we managed to win games, and that's what this business is all about. And the boys have had a tough out, two very hard fought wins the last 2 weeks, and they're not going to get much harder than this Friday night against the Chooks.
All right, we're going to talk about the grand final rematch shortly. We're going to talk about all things rugby league, but we have, and I know that you were definitely a teammate, and Robbie Kearns, you'd have been a teammate of Greg Inglis at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, believe it or not, it was. This goes to show you how old I am.
But actually, you know what? I'm only joking, because I know you are, because when you emailed me this today, I thought I'd better play it.
Obviously, making me my debut. I was 4 years old when I made my debut, when Robbie Kearns made his debut for Cronulla Sharks, and I got to play 2 seasons with him. So, you know, it's I keep reminding him about that too. And
thanks for sending that through too, Kearnsy. There you go.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel old?
When he said 2 seasons, I'm pretty sure it was only one, but... Yep. Yeah, it was 2005. I think he burst on the scene, and Hoffy will back me up here. We heard a lot about this kid. He was playing in our Brisbane North, which was our feeder team at the time, mm-hmm. and we heard a lot about this guy who's scoring hat-tricks every week, if not every second week. And, we were expecting to see this big bulk of a kid anyway. He came down, and he looked like a javelin. He was that skinny. And, I think the first time he sort of got on, he debuted, he scored a try, and the rest is history, so they say. I think we played, 263 games, and I reckon, majority of those games have been 10 out of 10 games. He's just an absolute athlete. And I've spoke about, a lot of AFL people come up to me today after his announcement and just sort of asked me how good was he, and I said, personally, I think he was the most naturally gifted rugby league player I've ever seen. I'm not saying he's the best rugby league player, because he's most probably his consistency wasn't there like some of those guys at the top of the tree. But if you pick out, one of his greatest games ever, it by far outscores anyone else.
Yeah, look, he was the type of player that he could just drift in and out of games. He was sometimes he was on and then he'd be there, and then Other times he wouldn't be, and it just something come over and said, all right, I want to score a try here, and he would. It was amazing. And I remember I actually played a couple of reserve grade games with him in 2004 as a 17-year-old, and you're right, he was built like a minute six, and he was bumping blokes off, you know, twice as big as him. He was unbelievable. It's funny, I actually remember pre-season 2004, you might remember this, Kearnsy, we were out at Marsland College doing a very tough training session out there, and GI was down with our academy kids, and we're doing a conditioning drill, and he just gave up. He just went and sat under a tree and said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And Bellyache walked over and told him, if you don't start training, I don't want you to ever come back, and I don't want to see you again. So it's funny how things change.
I assume he got up then.
Well, no, he didn't. Bellyache told him to rack off, and not quite those words. Mm-hmm. But, he sort of got himself together. He was only a young kid then, and the next year he was playing first grade. And, yeah, as I say, went on to be not only a very fantastic Melbourne Storm player, but a rugby league player as well.
It's always disappointing when we see like superstars of any generation or hang up the boots, in particular in a season, and understand the reasons why. And he spoke so well on Monday, but how much does it hurt the Rabbitohs? The fact that, you know, you perceive or view a team the way that you see the players coming into preseason, and we thought, you know, we'll see how this goes as he works himself into form and a bit of fitness. But how much does it hurt them from a, you know, from a structural point of view of being able to go deep into this year?
Oh, personally, I think, you know, they're a star-studded side, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Mm. I mean, obviously they've got the Burgess boys there. Damien Cook's gone to a whole new level the last couple of years. Cody Walker, we saw him on the weekend. He scored four tries and sort of won those guys the match. So, I mean, we haven't seen Greg Inglis, and again, Hoffie will back me up here. Well, you may or may not, but, you know, we haven't seen the best of Greg Inglis in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Obviously been dogged with that knee injury, shoulder injury of recent times. So, I mean, and they, you know, they went all but a grand final last year. So,
yeah,
whilst it's going to affect them, I don't think it's going to affect them as much as it possibly would if Melbourne Storm were without Cameron Smith.
Yep.
I just think, you know, at his best, which is most probably a few years ago when the Bunnies won their grand final. But, yeah, that's my personal opinion, Hovey.
Yeah, look, I think he almost looked relieved, to be quite honest. Mm. In watching his press conference, he looked relieved. And, look, he will, you know, I suppose the South players will just miss his personality probably more than anything, because they know he's the poor bloke's been going on one leg and one shoulder for the past few years. So, I think that relief, and I think we'll be able to see him happy now. So, yeah, all the best to him.
And just off the back of that, I mean, the guy's been an absolute pin-up boy for rugby league for such a long period of time. When I say pin-up boy, every kid wanted to do the Goanna. Every kid wanted to be GI. I mean, if it wasn't Billy Slater, it's GI. They're the two sort of standout guys, I reckon, in the last sort of 10 to 15 years that young kids wanted to be like. And, you know, maybe it's nowadays Latrell Mitchell, I'm not too sure. But, you know, there's so much pressure on Greg, not only year in, year out, but every week to perform. And
mentally, it takes out. And he looked mentally exhausted. I watched his last couple of games, mentally and physically exhausted. That's why I think he just looked relieved.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to take your hat off to guys like that, and Cameron, and we talk about Billy and Cooper, all these guys that have been at the top of the pecking order for such a long period of time, that have had so much consistency. The pressure on those guys to perform, and as you said, Hoffy, it's not only on field, it's off field. I mean, Greg's the captain of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And around that area, you know, he's an absolute god within the Indigenous space. And so, I mean, the pressures all day, every day for Greg Inglis would have been immense. And obviously when he wasn't performing up to his, you know, standard that he wanted to be, it was always going to affect him. And as Hoffy said, it's most probably a massive relief for Hoff, for GI, that he can actually say, you know, it's time's up.
Everybody has different situations. Everyone has different reasons. And, you know, when you come to retirement, there's different ways to which people think about it and handle it and all the rest of it. Leading up to your boys' retirements, how hard, like how much did it weigh on your minds? Was it injury? Was it the mental side of it? What, like, and how long do you toss and turn at night thinking, is the end here? Do I pull the pin? Do I try and go one more year? How hard is it as a pro athlete to actually just go, I'm done? How was it for you boys?
Yeah, I just did it last year, and I just knew in the preseason I didn't have another one of those left in me. I could keep playing, no worries. It's the training. I couldn't keep training anymore. I couldn't do what it took to get me to play at a standard that I was happy with playing. And when you can't do that Knowing how much training has to go into it, and you just don't want to do it anymore. But the thing for me in retirement, I just wanted to make the decision. I didn't want someone else to make the decision for me, and I was in a fortunate position where I got to make the call myself, and I was actually really content. I managed to do everything in the game that I wanted to achieve, and I retired a very content player. What about you, Kernsey?
Yeah, my decision was pretty easy. Craig Bellamy said he didn't want me playing anymore, so
that's rubbish.
So there's not much to... nowhere to go when he says that to you. I was a bit of a funny one, and I don't know whether Hoffy knows a real story here, but I got to a stage in my career where I was sort of 32, pushing ready 33, and I was umming and ahhing whether I wanted to go around again. And we had a whole heap of young guys coming through the ranks in regards to forwards, Antonio Cafusi, Brett White, Ian Donnelly back in the days, and we didn't have too many experienced players. There was no in-betweens. And so sort of Craig Bellamy said, listen, mate, I'd love you to go around one more year. And I was like, oh, I was really sort of saying I love playing. But as Hoffy said, I didn't think I could get through another preseason because, as we all know, down in Melbourne, they train very ridiculously hard. And, you know, it's known throughout the NRL that we are the hardest training teams, have the biggest preseasons. And so I tossed the idea up, you know, with obviously close ones. And I thought, you know what, I most probably can go one more year. Not that the big 300 mark was a thing to get to, but I would have hit the 300 mark, and I thought, you know, long time retired. And so I decided to go around one more year, and about 6 weeks later, we're playing the Brisbane Broncos up in Suncorp Stadium, and obviously they had the two benchmark front rowers in the game at the time, Shane Webke and Big Petro. So I had it in my head, I'm not too sure why, I just went out there to try and I smelt blood. And I went out there and I was flying out of the line trying to pull shots on these guys that are twice the size of me, and I kept bouncing off, and I'd go back to the line and throw my body at them again, and Craig pulled me aside after the game, and it was just a weird game. I just wanted to get the better of these two front rowers, but, you know, I was bouncing off tackles and I wasn't really effective, and Craig pulled me aside a week later and he said, mate, I'm most probably going too early. That's the worst game of football I've seen you play. And he said, mate, I might have to rethink it. And I said, oh, come on, mate. And he goes, anyway. But it came down to the fact that he said, listen, what you do at training, you do in a game. Mm-hmm. And I started taking shortcuts, not in regards to the fitness levels, doing the fitness, but more the contact stuff, which, you know, the young guys such as Antonio, even Hoffy back in the day, they were trying to rip into the old dog, and it was really hurting me, and I wasn't backing up too well. So I basically made the decision there, and then that was my last year.
You retired in season or at the end of the year?
No, at the end of the year. The year out, and it was funny, and Hoffy was there. Hoffy's a big part of it. 2005, it was the opportunity of a lifetime because I hadn't won a premiership, and that was the year we were going to win it, but it just didn't happen. It was the year the Tigers won it. They came from nowhere, and we beat them, I think, the week before the finals, I think we beat them 40-0 down here at Olympic Park, and they went on to win the premiership.
Yeah, we lost yourself and Billy in the first semi-final, which wasn't good, and got knocked off in the second round of the semis.
All right, on that note, we're going to get to a quick break. Many guys going to jump on the line. Christian Welch is going to join us later in the show. We're going to talk probably something you don't really care about, either you boys, but Queensland captaincy now that Greg Inglis is no longer there, but I'll try and get it out of
you. Happy to see the back of him. See you later, Greg.
And we're going to talk about the big game this week, the Roosters and the Storm as well. It is the Melbourne Storm Hour, part of the Sporting Capital.
On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Hoffman and Kearns in the studio. Don't miss a moment of the action too as Melbourne Storm look to continue their winning streak. Get it to 6 to start the year against the Roosters this Friday night. Amy Park, bring the kids for free. Head to Ticket Tech today to lock in your tickets. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. 1-300-736-736. They'll chat to two legends. And there's going to be a new segment starting on the Sporting Capital right about now. It's a Where Are They Now segment, and that's quite ironic because Matty Guy, of course, a legend of the club. We're asking the same thing because right now we can't get hold of him. Is that right, Kearnsy?
Pretty much. I thought he's going to be good to go, but I can't get a hold of Matty Guy. But anyway, most probably trying to grow some hair.
All right.
Take the hint, Kearnsy. I don't want to talk to you, mate.
No doubt.
You know what we'll do then? We'll just might touch on the fact that it's a pretty big game this week. Of course, the Roosters are so highly rated coming off their premiership last year and had a pretty good start to the year, and Melbourne are 5-0. Does it get mentioned, the very fact of that last game of 2018?
Yeah, look, I think if the game was played later on in the year, I don't think it would have been mentioned, but I think because, you know, it's still quite early in the season that it's still relevant. And it's interesting because everyone that was involved in that game last year is still involved with the club. Mm-hmm. We've got no new players, so everyone knows what happened last year. And, you know, to be quite honest, we got taken to the sword by the Roosters, and they gave us a bit of a lesson. So I think there was certainly some things that happened in that game we needed to rectify, and we've spoken about it all pre-season. So, yeah, we're under no illusions that they came up with a pretty good plan to beat us last year, and I'm sure they're that well coached, especially now that they've got one of our former assistants up there, Adam O'Brien. So we're under no illusions that they're going to come up with something special for us on Friday.
What happened on grand final night? Was it? Were you surprised by it, the way they were able to, like, you always prepare for a team and, you know, kudos to them for playing so well, but there were things that they did that surprised you that really rammed home over the summer of what you had to sort of maybe bring to the table next time you meet them?
Yeah, look, I think it was a lot of it was a case of they were just really on that night, mm-hmm. and we were just that little bit off. And when in a big game, all the deficiencies show up, and that's what it was. Like, we were quite poor with our hands all season, and it showed up in the last game. I also think in our preparation, we spent a lot of time focusing on what to do if Cooper does play or Cooper mm-hmm. doesn't play, where in the end we probably should have been focused on Luke Keary because he played one of the best games of football I've seen anyone play on that day. So, you know, there were a few things in our preparation we certainly would have changed, but that's not taking away that we were beaten by a much better team.
How much does it add to it? How much does it add to the fact that you're playing, or any time you play a team that beats you in either a grand final or a big game, how long is that dislike or that disappointment or the hatred? Is it a career thing? Or is it just a couple of weeks, months, or you just don't care? It's all everyone's a rival? How does it all work?
Yeah, well, Our rivalry with Manly has got on quite a few years.
That's a fair call.
And obviously Cronulla, and we've got one with Brisbane too, and they're all teams that have beaten us in grand finals. So, look, I think it certainly adds a bit of something to it. It hit the pride last year on quite a few of our players. So, look, you'll be dead if you don't think you realise that there's something special about this game.
Kernsy?
I reckon... Well, talking about the Roosters last year, it was quite funny. Everyone, there's lots of talk about Ryan Hoffman, Cooper Cronk, and his shoulder. And anyway, so a friend of mine from Cronulla, who's a good mate of mine, he rang me up and he said, "Mate, listen, I've heard a rumour that Cooper's busted his shoulder." And I said, "Who's told you this?" He says, "Mate, I'm telling you, it's from a very, very good source." Anyway, so I went back and told Craig and Frank. I said, "Listen, this is a story I've heard," and Bellamy didn't want anything to do with it. He said, "Mate, Cooper will play, no doubt." I said, "Mate, he's got a busted shoulder. He's not playing." He said, "Mate, he'll play." And sure enough, he goes out there with a busted shoulder. Mm-hmm. So my mail was correct, and you know, the rest is history. You know, he didn't participate much in the game at all, but him being out there, obviously, you know, had an effect on the rest of the Roosters team, and they went to a whole new level, and they just, as Hoffy said, they did a job on us and did a really good job on us. So,
the fact that he was out there, and now we know the extent of the injury in the aftermath of it, like, is it one of, and boys have seen some courageous efforts from rugby league players over the years, where does it sit when it comes to and rank as one of the courageous efforts to go into a grand final with the injury that he had?
Oh, it's right up there. Mm-hmm. And speaking to him after the game, look, they had... You know, you got another needle after the game. It was a 15-centimetre break in a scapula, and, you know, for a half.
Had someone have said to you 2 weeks prior, not worrying about the player, so that's the injury that someone had, can they play a game of rugby league, one of the, if not the highest intensity domestic game of the year, would you have believed them?
Not a hope in hell.
And that's the other thing. I mean, it could have backfired.
It could have.
And, you know, we all know he didn't, as I said earlier, he didn't really participate in that game. Giving him a mark out of 10 for that game, he may have probably got 2. And he usually got standards of 8.5 to 9 every week. So, you know, his need out there on the night was just to be there for the rest of the Roosters mm-hmm. group, give those guys confidence. And the fact that he was out there with a broken shoulder, you back me up or don't back me up, Hoffy, but I reckon that's why the rest of the team rose to the occasion, and they grew an extra arm and a leg. And
It was a distraction for us. Yeah. We based a lot of our preparation on what to do if Cooper doesn't play. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we should have said, well, if he does play, he's not going to be much good. We should focus on Luke Keary. So him being there distracted us, to be quite honest. And, it was a dead set masterstroke. And, you know, it certainly took a very, very special player to be able to be out there and not to contribute, but still contribute, if that makes sense. And that just shows what a great player and great team man Cooper is.
Was there ways you were trying to change it on the fly in the way that you were defending them? Or was it just once you're into it, it's too hard to be able to just change up so much your attention? Because, I think he was involved in the first try, wasn't it? Was he involved?
Yeah.
He was involved early, and then he sort of...
His presence there causes us to react because, we expect so much from him. We know what he can do. And just a lot of time he was just catching and passing and doing all that. And as I say, it took the pressure off Keary. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was in the coach's box at the time. We realised, hang on, we've got to spend a lot more time on Keary, but it was too late.
I was talking to Craig Fitzgibbon in the off season, and, obviously he's part of the Roosters coaching staff there. And he knew that, the Roosters had us rattled early on in the sense that if we were trying to target Cooper, we're keeping our eyes off the major prize, which was, as you said, Luke Keary had a man of the match performance. So it did affect us. And I mean, we were trying to target him, but he kept going from side to side. And it was just a game that we just lost track of what we should have been doing. And again, I know he's an old coach from yesteryear, but the original coach from Melbourne Storm, who won a premiership in 1999, Chris Anderson, he was always about, don't worry what the opposition's doing, just worry about what we're doing. And that's exactly what happened on the night. We got all caught up in what the Roosters were going to do, how they're going to do it, and why they're going to do it. And it just come back to backfire on the Melbourne Storm. But anyway, we're talking about 2019.
We are. So who do we target on Friday night? Do you go back to the Cooper Cronk situation? Or who is the main, I guess, when it comes to defensive tactics and the way you go about it?
Well, I think we make sure our backyard's in order.
True.
Yeah, I really do. And look, a lot of everything in our preparation, we prepared really well. But in the end, we were off that on that night. And if you look at the game, we were still only two tries down with 15 minutes to go. So we were still in it.
Still in it.
So it's making sure that everyone turns up with their head on. Every turns up with their preparation done perfectly, because that's what's going to take to beat a very good Roosters side.
Can't wait for Friday night. The Purple Army is building for 2019. Melbourne, you're our city and we're your club. Any four Melbourne Storm home games for only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud in 2019. Now, when it comes to Cam Smith, it just seems like every single week or every fortnight there's a new record he is breaking. And again, it happened last Friday night in Townsville. Before we get your thoughts on a man who just continues to rack up milestone after milestone, let's hear from Todd Greenberg in the sheds after the game. Now, you would have been there for this. A lot of people, it's yet to be seen or heard in public. This is Todd Greenberg at another presentation towards one of the greats.
And in 2002, Cameron played game number one, and tonight he played game number 389. And 389 NRL games on top of 42 Origins for Queensland, on top of 56 Test matches for his country, grand finals, premierships, all the individual awards, which we don't need to go through, but I want to tell you this number, because this number is staggering. He's played 389 games, 278 of those are wins. He may well go on and win 300 NRL games. There are only 34 players in the history of the game that have played 300 games, and you guys are playing for someone who may win 300 games. The reason I say that is because I don't want any, particularly the younger blokes, and maybe the older blokes, but the younger blokes to understand the privilege that it is to lace up every week and play with a teammate like this bloke. It is genuinely an extraordinary achievement what you've seen tonight. And so tonight is an occasion where you say he is now the greatest point scorer of all time. That is not something you say very often, and it's probably not something we'll say again. Good things happen to good people. This guy's a champion. He's a better bloke off the field. Well done, mate.
There you go.
Fantastic rap.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? It could be the first bloke to play to get 300 wins.
I mean, he's... his record speaks for itself. Mm. There hasn't been a record he hasn't broken yet. No. If you work out the tackles he's made, I mean, every week he's doing 50-odd tackles, so count that by 389 games. 389 he's up to? or 379.
Yes, yeah.
Whatever it is. But absolute superstar. And as Todd Greenberg said, the one bonus out of all that, he's a better bloke off the field than what he is as a player.
Well, the interesting thing with him getting that points record is that he actually didn't start goal kicking regularly until 3 years into his career. And it was interesting. I'm on the sideline for the Storm and passing the messages from the coach. So even though I'm retired, I'm still getting yelled at by the coach. But the message came down for him to take the two, and that was the first time I've seen Cameron hesitate. I know he did wanted to think that he was just taking the two to get the record. I think he would have preferred it to come from a conversion after a try, but the opportunity was too good to get the 2 points, and it just summed him up as a person too. Like, he wasn't focused on the record. He was thinking, hang on, is this the best thing for the team at this time?
Are you noticing any difference in, like, have you noticed any drop-off? Like, when we're sitting in the stand, is there any drop-off in the way Cameron Smith was playing in 2008 and 9 compared to now? But do you notice anything on a day-to-day basis?
No, look.
It's remarkable.
He still does everything what it takes. He's still the last bloke off the field.
Yeah.
I was at training this afternoon. He was the last bloke off the field after practicing his goal kicking and his kicks and his passes. And there is no secret to him. Everyone says, how can he do it? How does he do it? Number one, he loves the game. Mm-hmm. And number two, he works hard at it.
Mm-hmm.
He realised that this is his job, this is his love, this is his passion, and he works hard at what he loves to do.
Hoffy, you've been obviously very close to him for a long period of time, and you obviously only retired last year with him. Have you seen him slow down at all? As in, I'm talking about his speed in around the dummy half, or if he gets in the open. His actual leg speed.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen too much of a drop off to be quite honest. And look, if there has been, it's been minimal. But certainly that hasn't dropped off, and that's his speed between the ears.
Yeah,
and that's what I think is his greatest attribute. I think the smartest footballer that's ever played the game, to be able to read the defence, to be able to look at plays, three tackles ahead. And, we talk about how great Cooper was for the Melbourne Storm, how great Billy was for the Melbourne Storm. But if you think back to it, Cameron Smith was the person who passed them the ball.
Yeah.
So if he didn't think it was on, if he didn't think it was the right play, those guys don't get the ball. So everything begins and ends really with Cameron.
It's interesting. I always look at Cameron. I mean, he's 35 or 36 now.
Yeah.
36. Let's just say 40.
Yeah.
round it off. But, mate, when he first came on the scene, I think his very first game for the Melbourne Storm, he was playing halfback. We had young Marty Turner, who was out with, he'd just been actually in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And he played halfback, but he got benched halfway through the first or second half, or it was just after halftime. I think they sort of took him off the field because he wasn't performing at halfback. And then sure enough, which I'm sure he played a little bit of halfback in his years growing up, but obviously he found his position at hooker. And it was at a real delicate stage in the Melbourne Storm because we had a guy playing for us previously at hooker, Richard Swain. He won the previous two Player of the Years at the Melbourne Storm. And it was basically a toss-up there and then. Who do we keep? Richard Swain or the young gun in Cameron Smith, who obviously had about 3 or 4 clubs chasing him at the time. He'd just come off the back of an Australian schoolboys tour. And at the time, everyone was going to, the supporters of the club were going to torch the place down. They thought, how could you? I mean, Richard Swain, just a lovely guy, wonderful guy off the field and absolutely champion on it. But always take the mickey out of Richard Swain, saying they definitely made the wrong choice.
Hey, Christian Wells is going to join us on the other side of this. Superstar that Cam Smith is. And there's no doubt over the next 5, 6, 7 months over this NRL season still to go, we'll have probably 4 or 5 more of those milestones that he's gone past, although it's hard to believe considering he seems to break so many records. Melbourne is only one rugby league team in town. Support the club that supports our city. Get 4 Melbourne Storm home games for only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne proud. Quick break. Huffy, Kernsey and Christian Wells on the phone next. We are the Storm from Melbourne town. We'll blow the others off the
ground. We are the Storm and we're number one. On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Christian Welch, only moments away with the T-Bone of the Week award. Firstly, Jason's in Murrelbach to have a chat to Ryan Hoffman and Robbie Kearns just quickly. Hello, Jace.
G'day, Hoffman. G'day, Kearnsy. G'day. How are you guys?
How are you, mate? You good?
How you doing?
Yes, I'm a passionate Melbourne Storm fan, and I hope we can beat the Roosters and actually win the NRL. Tell us the premiership is here.
Well, fingers crossed. The boys trained well today, and everything's looking good for Friday.
Thank you, Kernsy, and everyone. Bye for now.
Always, pal.
There you go. Jason and Murubai, big storm man. Quickly, Dunny is in Patterson's Lake. Hello.
Hey, Hop and Kurt. Very, very happy Melbourne Storm supporter. Week this week, we've got Smitty's just broken the record. Cronk's playing against us, which I want to talk to you about. Slater's making St Kilda win with all his tackling expertise, which I can tell you that's a big part of it. But I want to know from you guys, I drove home, I did the big drive to the NRL Grand Final last year for the first time ever and stopped at Yass and got absolutely smashed by Sydney Roosters supporters. I thought they were going to kill him right now. But do we heckle him or do we support him? Now, it's a big call.
Well, I know from within the four walls of Melbourne Storm, he will always be known as a legend of our club, and that's the way we greet him when we see him. Obviously, he's gone up to the Roosters, but, mate, he gave over 300 games of first-grade football for the Melbourne Storm and gave his absolute heart and soul to our organisation. It just so happened he was in love with a girl up in Sydney, and basically, you know, from my point of view, and I'm sure Hoffy's going to back me up here, as every other Melbourne Storm staff member or player would, he'd basically done his deeds for the Melbourne Storm and moved on. And we sort of said, thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, certainly from my perspective, he earned the right to make the decision what he wanted, because, yeah, he put his body through a hell of a lot for this club. He loved this club. He was, he played a lot of positions for this club at the start before he came out halfback. And, he's still a very good friend to a lot of players in this team. Obviously, supporters are going to do what they want, but, we just want to make sure you guys are cheering for us on the weekend. And, let's not give the Roosters anything to cheer about. And let's have it a big Melbourne Storm game.
Head to Ticket Tech today to lock in your tickets as well. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. And a man who, of course, is a huge part of this show as well. Talk of Christian Welsh, who joins us on the line. Christian, welcome back to the Storm Hour.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I'll tell you what I want to do. Before we get to the T-Bone of the Week and you have a chat to the boys, I know you've sent through a piece of audio. Do you want me to play it now or do you want me to hold on to it?
Yeah, we might just hold off. We might set the scene for this little bit of piece of audio. Everyone, I suppose, talks about the Melbourne Storm culture and how, admired it is across the sporting landscape in Australia. And there is some good things, but there is, I suppose, some things that need to come out. And there is a bit of a dark underbelly of the club. And I suppose I'll get you to press the audio and we'll just bring the listeners in.
Nope, hang on.
That's basically Robbie Kearns in a nutshell. Former Rugby League Sexiest Man of the League nominee. But hopefully, if I ever pull the boots back on again, I may be a contender.
Talk us through it,
Kearns. Yeah, so I'd just like to carry on before we get comments from young Robbie. Our head coach is the son of a cement worker from Portland, and rugby league's a very blue collar game, and they're attributes we really respect. And I just think Kearns might have started a bit of a rot at the club. It's been carried on by certain players in the current squad, and obviously he was angling for the sexiest man in league back in 2007. So it was actually a couple of days ago, I was coming back in, Nelson and I, as two good ruckies do, we were fighting over a piece of meat, bare knuckle brawling, just to get fired up for the Roosters this Friday. We walked back into the sheds and see Chanderell straightening his hair in the bathroom. I'd like to attribute a bit of this to Robbie Kearns, and I think the people need to know this.
Welsh, I'd just like to thank you for your research you've done on Robbie Kearns. Obviously, I'm going to put some stalking charges on you very soon. That was back in the day when I was a good sort. I think I was 20 years of age. And anyway, I've come a long way since then, Christian. I'm obviously a former front rower, so I can't bag myself too much because I most probably I can't get my way out of it. But anyway, listen, Welsh, I appreciate your effort. And let's talk about the next subject, please.
I've actually got one more nomination. The bloke sitting next to you, the great Ryan Hoffman. He's obviously moved into the head office and has hung the boots up and for the suit. There is many accounts, more than one account, that has given me this testimony that Ryan Hoffman was caught on his computer
Googling Ryan Hoffman. I'd like just a comment from Ryan and maybe whether he could swear on his kid's lives that this hasn't occurred.
I was on my computer and I can swear on my kid's lives that I was not Googling myself. I was looking at myself on rugbyleagueproject.org to see how many tries I had scored against the Roosters in my time.
So you didn't Google Ryan Hoffman?
It wasn't a Google. I went to rugbyleagueproject.org, a fantastic website for folks listening out there if you'd like to check it out. I know Welshy's going to check it out right now to see how many tries he scored, and it'll be a very quick search.
I've never done that, but I think I ended up with 32 tries. Actually, I have done it 1,000 times.
But it was not a Google, Welshy.
Well, there we go. That's my nomination for T-Bone of the Week, fellas. So all the best in the fans are deciding.
Not bad. Hey, just before we let you go, mate, big game, talking about the Roosters, big game Friday night. How's the boys looking?
Yeah, we're looking really good. We're obviously really excited to take on the Roosters. And, you know, obviously last year's disappointment was, I suppose, it's spoken about a little bit. So we're hopefully going out on Friday in front of our home fans this time, because obviously the grand final was played in Sydney. It was pretty much, you know, all the three quarters as Roosters fans. So we're really looking forward to getting out in front and see a purple at Amy and hopefully playing well.
And, of course, this time last week, you were nominated for a T-Bone of the Week due to you comparing yourself to the Hemsworth brothers. How's that gone down?
God, he's not still doing
well,
that, is
he? Shandor, well, it's, you know, jealousy's an ugly look, and Shandor's obviously a bit threatened from Welch. He's got that rugby league, that old prop kind of look that obviously appeals to the crowd. So Robbie Cairns used to have it, but... yeah, a bit too pretty boy for me these days, Robbie Cairns.
A long time ago, Welshman, a long time ago.
That's it.
That's it. He's had enough.
Thank you, Welshy. See you later, mate.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's still there or not, but anyway, he's gone now.
Get rid of him.
T-Bone of the Week award nominations. There you go. 1-300-736-736. Who should be our T-Bone of the Week? Is it Robbie Cairns for... How long ago would that been, Robbie? Like,
oh, mate.
It was last week, Cairns.
I'm thinking I did a favour for my former manager, George Mimas, and he needed a couple of older fellas. They had the young crew. I think Cooper Cronk was one of the players, but they had a couple of past players, and I had to stick my hand up for it. Got paid handsomely, by the way, but no, I didn't. I didn't get paid a cent, believe it or not.
Lies.
I just did George Mimas a favour, and I've regretted it ever since.
Oh, and how many tries did you have against the Roosters?
I think it was four.
Okay.
I think it was four, but I actually know the staff member who has dobbed me in. So
well, you can nominate them for T-Bone of the Week if you want.
Yeah, I will. Ivy Whelan, I'll come and see you tomorrow.
All right,
hey,
there you go.
Tell me this, Ivy, how many tries did you end up with?
70 something, I think.
77. I can't beat that up. Like I said, I checked out many times. I'm on 32. Not bad for a front row, though.
1-300-736-736 to get involved. We're off the text, which are a few coming through. 0433981116. We'll get to all that and plenty more. It's all thanks to Melbourne Storm. Don't miss a minute of the action. As Melbourne Storm look to continue their winning streak to 6 in a row against the Roosters this Friday at Amy Park, bring the kids for free. Head to Ticket Tech today, and you might want to do it tonight because it's selling out. Huge, a good Friday game as well to lock in your tickets. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. Let's get to a break. Plenty more in the Melbourne Storm Hour next. We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground.
We are the Storm and we're number one. On 1116 SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Yeah, there's only one rugby league team in town. Support the club that supports our city. Get four Melbourne Storm home games for only $99. Call 1-300-STORMS now and be Melbourne crowd. Kearns, you got a couple of votes actually for the T-Bone of the Week award off the SMS. Not certain if it's players within or coaches within the Melbourne Storm hierarchy, but you are leading right about now.
It was
now,
me. I was.
Of course, legend of the week. Where are they now? And we've been able to get a superstar on the line as well, a man that you both know fairly well. Talk of Matt King, who joins us. Hello, Kingy.
G'day, boys.
Hey, Matthew.
Matthew.
Bobby Hoffy, what a pleasant surprise. How are you, boys?
What, now you're coming down to see take on the Melbourne Storm this weekend for all those Storm supporters out there. The big Matty King, he's part of the Roosters coaching staff and doing a wonderful job up there. But looking forward to coming down to Melbourne, Kingy.
Yeah, I do, Bob. I get to come down most years, whether it, since I've come back from England, mate, with the Rabbitohs, and then now my time at the Roosters, I do get to come down most years through footy. And then my wife and I, we've been down to have a weekend away, get out of Sydney every now and again. I love Melbourne, mate, for a whole bunch of different reasons. Obviously, it's a great city. I love sport, so obviously it's the sporting capital of Australia. There's no question about that. And obviously, my heartstrings are pretty tightly wrapped around the Storm. I had five unreal years down there, mate, and the club and the people within the club still mean a great deal to me. So, I think of Melbourne very fondly, mate.
Hey, you got anything for me, Kingy? Any news? Any little tidbits you want to share?
Well, Tough Dog, I've seen the Storm have named Curtis Scott at number 21. Is that a load of rubbish, mate, or is he up against it?
He's got some fitness tests, mate. He's got some fitness tests, so we'll see how he goes.
How's Cooper's shoulder?
Nice straight
days?
Bat, Hoff.
How's Cooper's bat. Shoulder, Kingy? How's that going?
Yeah, it's sweet, mate. It's sweet. He's he's all right, little fella. It was pretty amazing what he went through last year.
Yeah, we're just talking about Bobby.
It was phenomenal, mate. I was lucky enough to be at South Sydney when Sam Burgess broke his cheekbone in the first minute, which I thought that was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen. But you know, for Cooper to have a broken shoulder blade, but to know about it for 7 days leading into one of the biggest games of his life, and to know that bone was still going to be broken and have some needles in there to numb the pain and still get out there and do a job for us was the bravest thing I've ever seen on a footy field. And he's only a little dude, Coops, but his mental resilience and his mental toughness is the best I've ever seen. He's a tough little nugget, and what he did for us last year was amazing.
Kingy, there's a bit of a Melbourne Storm feel, obviously, with yourself and Cooper, and now Adam O'Brien's gone up there as assistant. How's he fitted in, and how does he go? Sort of obviously tough for him last year, losing to the Roosters in the grand final. How does it go for him coming into the team?
Yeah, for anyone who's had anything to do with Adam, you know, he's a wonderful country boy, you know, Bateman's Bay boy, and, family and all the values that the Storm hold true, is a big part of Adam as well. It's easy to see how he can fit into any environment really easily. He works really hard. He's super passionate about his job and the people he works with. And the other thing, Hoffy, he's really good at his job, mate. He sees the game differently. He's a bit of a risk taker. He's willing to offer up new ideas for the players each week. And the boys are warm to him too because of that country laid-back nature that he's got. So Adam and I work really closely together on the attack, and I'm really grateful that we get to spend so much time together. He's like a little mentor for me. I'm learning heaps off him, but he's a champion bloke as well. So it's he's fitted in really well, Hoffy, and I know that he's super excited to get back down and give Bellyache and Marky Brettnell and all those guys a cuddle as well.
Hey, Kingy, you've obviously been at a few successful clubs. You mentioned the Bunnies and now the Roosters and the Storm. Are they all very similar or very different?
Yeah, it's really funny, Bob. It's funny, mate. There's no, the commonality on characteristics you need for success hold true at each club, mate. So, if you're not going to work hard, you're not going to really be that successful. So each club that I've been at works extremely hard. There's a humility to each club, a really high discipline amongst staff and players. But the cool thing at each place, mate, is that, Bellyache sprinkled his magic dust on that place. Madge did the same at the Rabbitohs, and Robbo's got his own sort of style and way of doing things which creates success. So, even though there are those sort of characteristics, and I would assume that every NRL club would tick those boxes that they work hard, that they try to be as humble as possible and disciplined, but it's the magic of the true leader at each of those places which sort of gives each place its identity. And as you said, mate, I've been so blessed to be at three different clubs now and all tasted success, and just seeing how someone's individual personality and beliefs can really take that work ethic and that discipline and humility and turn it into success.
King, you've been involved as a coach for a few years now with both the Bunnies and the Chooks. Do you see yourself as a career coach, mate? Are you enjoying that role?
Do you know what, Hoppy? I really love the environment, mate. And as I presently stand, Hoppy, I'm just trying my hardest to be the best assistant I can be, mate. If that changes in a few years, I'll let you know, brother. But as it stands right now, I'm really comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable still taking my time and learning, learning the intricacies of coaching. There's so much, mate, when you go from an assistant to a head coach. You're dealing with salary caps and issues at home and so much other stuff that as an assistant, you just worry about the footy and you get the boys in, you know, all on the same page for the weekend. So with my personality, you two guys sort of know me better than most. With my personality type, I'm not sure if I'm suited to that high stress sort of environment as being a head coach, but I do love the environment. I love footy. I love being around the boys. So if I can be the best assistant and help out as much as I can, mate, that might be me for a little while, I reckon, Hoffdog.
Coach of the good times, eh?
Coach in the good times. Sounds all right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, congratulations too, mate. History maker first on the Melbourne Storm Hour here at SEN. Where Are They Now? Legend. So you've made history again, mate. So congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you, boys. Love it.
Making NBA, Melbourne Storm legend as he is. And there you go. We're done.
Done. How good is that?
Beautiful. Good. Do you know what's going on? You've been on your phone half the night. So.
Well... Are we still going?
I did like when you and I had a good chat about the Roosters and we threw one to Kearns. He's like, what are you talking about? Roosters last year?
We're playing the Roosters, are we? Eastern Suburbs, you're about to call.
We were talking about the Roosters, correct?
Hey, as always,
sorry, boys.
Thanks, boys, for coming in.
No problem.
And I'm sure you'll be part of the Melbourne Storm Hour at some point in the future with Jack Everett on Sporting Capital. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy it. I know you always do. And Hoffy will be out there sideline, but you'll be up in the corporates swanning around like you do, mate. So
fantastic.
Enjoy the game Friday night. All thanks to, of course, the Melbourne Storm. Don't miss a minute of the action as Melbourne Storm look to continue their winning streak. Get it to 6 games this weekend against the Roosters on Friday at Amy Park. Bring the kids for free. Head to Ticket Tech today to lock in your tickets. You'll need to do it ASAP because they are selling fast. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.